writes in, ask him what he knows about Michigan's legend of the Dog Man. Elaine lives in Michigan, as do I, and we have the legend of the Dog Man. Do you have any thoughts or anything on that topic?
Well, once you got we get into a topic like that, you've got 20 different scenarios with an upright walking candidate at any given time. There is no easy, convenient umbrella description for this phenomenon. It's a case-by-case basis. We do have in, you know, I shared with you Navajo Skinwalkers and Legends, our documentary. 90% of what I have investigated, as far as that goes, has been an upright walking wolf, 8 or 9 feet tall.
Wow.
But, you know, you've got that out there. I don't call that a dog man. It looks like a dog, and it could be a man, but it's not a dog man. It's something else. And these are entities shifted that were a person earlier. And the same fact would apply toward the weir, W-E-I-R, as in werewolves. And that's more of a Caucasian practice where this person, this human being, is able to shapeshift into this gargantuan bipedal wolf. So there you've got your skinwalker, you've got your weir, and now we get into different facets and aspects. One of the things I'm working on up north here near Canada is we are having regular encounters with a female that is considered a dog man, a dog person, something like that.
Oh, wow.
The dog men are what they are all the time. You've got babies, you've got mamas, you've got teenagers, you know, you've got all the aspects of families and family units in culture, essentially when it comes to these dog entities that can walk upright. They're just as much as home on all fours as they are up on two legs. But the equivalent factors, they have hands. They don't have front paws, they have hands.
Oh,
so that's
wow.
That's the freaky dinky thing. And the female in our study presently, she's over 9 feet tall when she stands up. And it's I'm not, you know, I've seen my fair share of the furry people, Sasquatch, Bigfoot, if you will. I think I'm better wired for that now than I was many, many years ago. But when this gal, this female dog thing stood up, It was freaky. But, you know, I only freaked out for a little bit, and I had the camera going, pating, pating, pating. I'll get you. Pating, pating. But it was a bit unnerving to see something like that stand up.
I bet. Did you get any good pictures of it?
Yes, I did. Better than most. And once again, I mean, even for our own self-satisfaction, we're just going to keep working on getting better pictures, better videos. That's what we're doing. It's all out of pocket. There's no money. There's no backers. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The most cryptid thing out there is the check writer. More mysterious than the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfooter, the Chupacabra, is this cryptid check writer. When these people go, what are you doing for money? You know, you've got about three brain cells rubbed together. There's no money. There's no mysterious benefactor out there funding this. It's us out of pocket, as you may well know. As anybody who has delved into this, at least maybe, you know, I could be on TV. JC, stick your hand out in that hole and see if something bites you. Okay. You know, I mean, yeah, okay. JC stuck his hand in a hole to see if something bit him. You know, that's you know, that really is the mentality of the fluoridated Joan Jane six pack out there. You know, it's unfortunate. It really is. And I don't think there'll ever be an avenue or venue that could actually depict what we're doing. I just don't see it. So I've given up on any possibilities of television. Unless I want to go around sticking my hand down in gopher holes and in badger holes, you know, that's the entertainment. He got his pinky finger bit off. I'm going to tune in next week, see what else that guy does. Sorry, I'm not picking on anybody. I will,
yeah, exactly.
I will give credit and kudos to Ken Gerhard, Jack Spinez, and so forth. They're doing Missing in Alaska, which is fairly intriguing so far. And you know, they got to keep their facts straight because you're going to get called to the carpet if there's a tiny. So, you know, keep your facts straight. But I do enjoy what they're doing. And they're very blessed to have an opportunity like that because I guess there's well over 30,000 people missing in Alaska in recent years. And there's so many different factions involved in that. And bouncing off a little further, my colleague David Plotties in this Missing 411 book series delves into that a little bit. He doesn't get a pet theory. He doesn't say Bigfoot's doing it, Dogman's doing it, werewolves are doing it, little green men, anything like that. There's not a pet theory. It's just essentially the most mysterious cases that they've obviously, it wasn't suicide, it wasn't somebody just wanting to go get back to nature, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is the really mysterious cases unsolved. And some, at least in the end, if we have a corpse, a cadaver, then even that is not solved because we don't know what happened to this person or this child.
Yeah. I was looking into some of his work too, and some of the cases, well, all of the cases, but there are some that really stick out as just weird. And you know, I actually kind of like that he doesn't really disclose what he might, like you said, he doesn't have a pet theory or anything. He just kind of gives him. Yeah, he just gives the information and you know, we do with it what we will. But it's really weird the types of cases of missing people. And I've heard that thing about Alaska too. Really strange stuff.
Well, anyway, Missing in Alaska is probably the most legit reality program on television. And it's something that they were able to put together and cover. And they don't have to spend more than 2 or 3 days on a topic, you know, whereas what we're doing, do you have like 6 weeks? Can you hang out with us for like 6 weeks or maybe even 2 months? And we might get a good photo. You know, there's no budget for that. So from there, you end up with scripted crypto fiction. And I think Ken Gerhard said it best, cryptozoology.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good term for it.
Let me stick my hand down in the badger hole. Ah! Okay. I'm back. Okay.
Yeah.
Cryptozoology. I mean, the Mountain Monsters, it's on a Destination America. I love working with them. I've been on their programs, but it's scripted crypto fiction, but what they do to mix things up is they will bring in a real witness or two. They might even have a real photo, but everything else that happens to them, every episode, the monster shows up and, you know, tries to kick their butts and stuff like that. And people buy into it. But then again, there's a lot of people who still watch professional wrestling.
Yeah.
It's real. So that's fine. That's not the people we're trying to get out to, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I hear you. And because I know my audience is going to want to know, they're going to kill me if I don't ask. Do you have the pictures anywhere online where people can view it or any footage or anything?
We've got the YouTube channel. I've got well over 55 investigative videos you can go look at free of charge.
Awesome. Fantastic. So, for the audience, what was the link to that again?
JC Johnson at YouTube, and it's also under the Crypto Four Corners, CryptoFourCorners, Crypto Four Corners channel. Just Google on JC Johnson on YouTube, you'll find us.
Fantastic. Yeah, thank you. And for the audience, I've had a chance to view some of the videos myself, and they're phenomenal. I mean, there is real hard evidence there, better than anything I've ever seen. And I've been interested in this kind of stuff for years. So people should definitely check that out. Go ahead.
The cutoff. Here's the cutoff. What we're doing, I'm not doing a show me, prove me thing. We're in the doing. We do this. This is what we're doing. This. We're not doing a show me, prove me thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Not even there. Come along. I'm not about to prove anything. Everything's free. I don't want your money. I would like your prayers, but I don't want your money. We're not after your money. We have nothing for sale. We're just, you know, you come along and see what we're doing. Come along and talk to our witnesses alongside of us and be a part of it. Be there front row and center to see what we're doing. That's about it. And it's not a show me, prove me thing. I could care less what you think is real or not. I don't care. I'm not out here to prove anything. I think in the end, we're trying probably just to make a good case for what it is that we're doing, because we're doing things. That's the difference. We're doing, we're not show me, prove me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And it really comes through strong in your videos and things that you have on YouTube. My wife and I have watched quite a few of them, and we love them. And you do have really excellent witnesses.